From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica Radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Nearly 50 people have been charged and several arrested this week by federal authorities in connection to a massive bribery scheme that involved an educational consultant named William Singer and wealthy parents paying to get their children into top schools. Among those arrested were actresses Felicity Huffman and Lori Loughlin and fashion designer Massimo Giannulli, as well as several athletic coaches and admissions officials. Federal authorities dubbed the case Operation Varsity Blues. It's the biggest college admissions scandal that the Justice Department has ever taken on. According to the Associated Press, prosecutors said parents paid an admissions consultant from 2011 through last month to bribe coaches and administrators to label their children as recruited athletes, to alter test scores, and to have others take online classes to boost their children's chances of getting into schools. Parents spent anywhere from $200,000 to $6.5 million to guarantee their children's admission. Here is Andrew Lelling, the U.S. Attorney for the District Court of Massachusetts, describing the charges on Tuesday.
We have charged 33 parents nationwide with hiring Singer's Group to defraud testing companies and/or various universities. These parents are a catalog of wealth and privilege. They include, for example, CEOs of private and public companies, successful securities and real estate investors, two well-known actresses, a famous fashion designer, and the co-chairman of a global law firm. Based on the charges unsealed today, all of them knowingly conspired with Singer and others to help their children either cheat on the SAT or ACT and/or buy their children's admission to elite schools through fraud. Singer's clients paid him anywhere between $100,000 and $6.5 million for this service, though the majority paid between $250,000 and $400,000 per student. This case is about the widening corruption of elite college admissions through the steady application of wealth combined with fraud. There can be no separate college admission system for the wealthy, and I'll add that there will not be a separate criminal justice system either. Every year, hundreds of thousands of hardworking, talented students strive for admission to elite schools. As every parent knows, these students work harder and harder every year in a system that appears to grow more and more competitive every year. And that system is a zero-sum game. For every student admitted through fraud, an honest, genuinely talented student was rejected. The parents charged today, despite already being able to give their children every legitimate advantage in the college admissions game, instead chose to corrupt and illegally manipulate the system for their benefit. We're not talking about donating a building so that a school's more likely to take your son or daughter. We're talking about deception and fraud.
And that is U.S. Attorney Andrew Lelling on Tuesday announcing the charges against dozens of parents in a massive college admissions scandal. The investigation is apparently ongoing and could result in more charges. We turn now to Diane Ravitch, an award-winning leader in education and the author of 10 books, including The Death and Life of the Great American School System, How Testing and Choice Are Undermining Education, and Reign of Error, The Hoax of the Privatization Movement and the Danger to America's Public Schools. She's a research professor of education at New York University, and she served as Assistant Secretary of Education and Counselor to the Secretary of Education from 1991 to 1993 under the George H.W. Bush administration. She was also co-founder of the Network for Public Education. Welcome to the program, Diane.
My pleasure. Thank you.
So, of course, this particular college admissions scandal might only be surprising in that it has netted charges against very wealthy elites, well-known people. But the actual practice is causing in many people reactions of, well, duh, yes, of course, this is something that wealthy people would do to try to game the system to get their kids into elite schools. Are you also unsurprised?
Well, I suppose, you know, when I first heard about it, I was didn't think it was a big deal because there's a lot of rigging that has gone on for many years. And then the story got to be bigger and bigger because there were movie stars involved and there were investment bankers involved. And I think that what makes this unusual is that it's a criminal scheme. But there are other forms of rigging that have gone on for years.
Right. It seems as though what has set this case apart is that there was one educational consultant at the heart of it, William Singer, who said that it's now been revealed he's basically like done this facilitated admissions for hundreds of people. And so through this one person, they were able to uncover this large fraud and bribery scheme. But of course, it may be happening and likely has been happening at smaller levels in different ways around the country. This one man who became a federal informant has managed to reveal a lot. So some of the ways in which he helped parents get their kids in was straight out falsifying test scores. The SAT and the ACT have for years been used as measures for college admissions. I know you've written about standardized testing. What do you make of the fact that they falsified these scores?
Well, you know, there were two kinds of cheating that were going on, maybe more than two. One was actually having people take the test instead of the student. They'd sign the student's name, and it would be an adult taking the student's place. This has gone on, by the way, in other countries. It's probably gone on in this country on a very small scale, on a kind of a, I've read about these scandals in the past, but it's usually been one entrepreneur or a few entrepreneurs, not a whole scheme. The other thing is that he paid test proctors, to change wrong answers. So that was a pretty elaborate scheme that he came up with. And it's quite amazing what sets this particular scheme aside and makes it larger is that the FBI investigated. Some of these other schemes were like petty theft as compared to grand theft. This is grand theft.
And the athletic coaches of elite schools were also involved in this scandal, going as far as accepting students for athletic scholarships who were not even playing the sports that they were being accepted for. And so you had this educational consultant help to Photoshop the faces of the applicants onto the bodies of the athletes. So very elaborate scheme. One of the things that comes up to me is how many spots for legitimate applicants were stolen because the spoiled brat children of these elite parents had their admissions bought? Sorry to sound so judgmental.
But I think this is something where I hope the FBI gets to the bottom of it. The kind of elaborateness of this scheme is breathtaking. Yeah. You know, the notion that a student would be described as a star athlete when they had never even performed the sport, I think the college would find that out pretty quickly when they thought they had brought in a superstar soccer player who then was unable to play soccer because they never actually played soccer in the past. And they would, I'm surprised that the colleges themselves have not been calling the whistle or blowing the whistle on this game. But I guess how broad it is, but you know, there was a book written in 2006 about parents literally buying places and colleges for their children. And that is just as fraudulent, and no one's been prosecuted for that. The FBI didn't go after any of those parents. And the book, which was by a journalist named Daniel Golden, who was then working for the Wall Street Journal, happened to name a particular family. The father's name was Charles Kushner. He gave $2.5 million. He was a graduate of New York University. He gave $2.5 million to Harvard. And the next year, his son, Jared Kushner, was accepted into Harvard. And when Daniel Golden was writing the book, he interviewed the administrators at the private school in New Jersey where I went to school. No one knew who Jared Kushner was. But he interviewed them and said, was he the best qualified person in the class? And they said, oh, no, there were students who were far better qualified, had higher test scores, higher grades, and they should have gotten into Harvard, and they didn't, but Jared did. And his father had just coincidentally given $2.5 million to Harvard. That's just one student, so that was not a grand scheme. But Daniel Golden's book was filled with stories of parents who had bought their way into elite colleges by making these kinds of large donations, and that should have been investigated. The other kind of rigging that goes on all the time right now is that wealthy parents can pay for very expensive tutors. The New York Times a couple of years ago had an article about tutors who were earning $500 an hour to tutor rich kids so that they could get high score on the SAT. That's a kind of falsification too. So this kind of rigging, you know, when I first heard about the scheme, I thought, we've had this kind of rigging, not on this grand scale, not with this elaborate planning, not with test proctors, not with fake resumes. This scheme is kind of, you almost have to, I won't say admire its audacity, but it's breathtaking. But the rigging, which is putting an unqualified student into an elite school, that's been going on for a long time and in many ways. The SAT itself is, as far as I'm concerned, a fraudulent way of getting into college because, first of all, you can, with wealthy parents, be tutored to raise your SAT scores. But secondly, because the most important thing the SAT measures is your family income. So that from the get-go is a wrong way to measure universities that don't require either an SAT or an ACT to get into college.
And just want to mention, by the way, that book that you were referring to by Daniel Golden is called The Price of Admission, How America's Ruling Class Buys Its Way into Elite Colleges and Who Gets Left Outside the Gates. He's now a journalist with ProPublica, and he pointed out that many of the affluent readers of his book embraced it as a how-to guide, and they inundated him with questions for years asking how much do they have to donate to get their child into Harvard or Yale or Stanford. Interestingly enough, Andrew Lelling, who was the federal prosecutor, the U.S. attorney who announced the charges on Tuesday, and we played a video clip of him announcing the charges in the introduction, said something to the effect of, we're not talking about donations made to colleges to pay for buildings. We're talking about real cheating. But isn't that sort of legacy admission also cheating? Can you tell me if it is an official policy of elite schools like Harvard and Yale, et cetera, that if you get a donation, a massive millions of dollars worth of donation to, say, construct a new building on campus, that the person, you know, the child involved of that donor is automatically let in? Or is that a sort of informal quid pro quo?
I think if you were to ask the admissions officers, they would all deny that they do it. They would say, oh, no, there's no way in the world that you can give money and get your child, your son or daughter admitted to Harvard or Yale or Princeton. But I think that what shocked me about Daniel Golden's book is he proved with case after case that that's been going on for a long time. And we know this legacy admissions. That is, if your father and grandfather went to Yale, the odds are very good you'll go to Yale, regardless of your test scores. I'm conflicted in one way, not about the cheating, which is clearly wrong. I'm also not conflicted about buying a place. But I think that it's hard to say what should be the grounds for admitting students to a private university. I think it's totally appropriate if you want to have a Latin department to make sure that you admit students who've majored in Latin and love Latin. If you don't, you're going to have to eliminate your Latin department sooner or later. You can't have everybody majoring in business and computer science. If you want to have a music program, you look for students who are musically talented. I think that's the kind of judgment call that admissions offices have to be free to make so that they have a diverse and a balanced student body where people bring different skills, different talents, different strengths. They may even have a football player also literate. But what is clearly wrong is the kind of cheating that we see in this current scandal. And I think equally wrong is donating $2 or $3 or $5 or $10 million to make sure that your child is admitted. Those are just wrong. But that's very different from saying, we wanted to bring in this student because he played the cello and we needed a cello player in our orchestra.
Right. The cut published online an anonymous article by someone entitled, "I was a college admissions officer. This is what I saw." And in it, this person described how they were expected to have a holistic approach to college admissions. So you look at grades, but you also look at test scores. You also look at extracurricular activities. And often when this person would say deny for certain students, certain applicants, those among the ones that were to be denied who came from affluent backgrounds had their admission status overturned, and they were admitted by others higher up in the chain simply based on the fact that those were students who weren't asking for financial aid, so they were able to pay. At the heart of all of this is also the fact that our colleges, even the ones that are supposedly not-for-profit, even the state schools, have increased the cost of going to college and prioritize those who can pay, right? I mean, in this list of schools that were involved in this college admission scandals, you have a number of state schools, like University of Texas, my alma mater, UCLA, UC San Diego. Why are the state schools going after, why were people at state schools admitting such wealthy elites?
This is a complicated subject, but the deeper problem, perhaps, aside from the fact that people are breaking the law and cheating and doing whatever they can to get their kids into any school. And who knows, I mean, what an embarrassment to the students involved to think that they're so, their parents think so little of them that they have to cheat to get them into college. But the larger problem is the fact that states have steadily withdrawn their support from public higher education, so that you have public universities that have to look at the bottom line and say, how are we going to pay our bills? And it used to be that in California, for example, many years ago, admission to a public university meant you had a tuition-free education. And it used to be that in most states, getting into a public university meant that you had paid very low tuition. And the states have been steadily shifting the burden from the taxpayer to the students, making it more and more expensive to go to any university. And the idea of a tuition-free higher education is simply out of reach for most states because they don't want to tax corporations. They keep cutting corporate taxes and take the state of Washington as an example. There are no corporate taxes and there are no income taxes. So how do they pay for education? It has to be through higher sales taxes and shifting the burden to the taxpayer and to the user rather than expecting the state to pay it. So, and I think in every state there has been a decided move away from low cost higher education. I mean, this came home to me very starkly when I visited Finland a few years ago, and I was told that all higher education in Finland is tuition free. And I said, how is that even possible? And my guide, who was an experienced educator, said, in Finland, we view all education as a basic human right, and no one should have to pay for a basic human right. And I said, well, what about if someone's going to medical school or law school? He said, it doesn't matter. All education is tuition free. It's paid for by the government's taxes or by taxpayers.
Oh, those evil socialists in Finland. Diane, let's talk about the connection with primary education, because we're talking here about higher education, but there is a link to the primary education system, the struggle over over public education in particular. We've heard stories for years about poor parents, Black and brown parents, being imprisoned for falsifying the home address so that they can get their kids into the elite public schools that are outside their district or in wealthier neighborhoods, and they've been criminalized. And it's only now that we're seeing wealthy parents being criminalized for doing something similar for a higher education level. But how is the story of the college admission scandal linked to the push to privatize our educational system for K through 12?
I'm certainly more knowledgeable about the privatization of K through 12. I think there is a very strong motive on the part of many parents to separate themselves and their children from those they consider to be undesirable. And the public schools are supposed to be open to everyone. And increasingly, we see a tremendous push to privatize K through 12, so that then the K through 12 schools become elite schools, and they can reject admissions of children who don't speak English, of children who have disabilities, and it becomes, in effect, an elite school. I have tomorrow on my blog about a school in North Carolina that was created as a segregation academy. It was created in the late 1960s as an all-white school to evade a desegregation order. And they've just applied and won the right to become a charter school. So now the parents who send their children there as an escape from integration will no longer have to pay tuition, and they will be paid for instead by the public. So a lot of the impulse behind the charter school movement is for segregation, quite frankly, economic segregation and racial segregation, and also not so much in California, but in all of the rest of the country, tremendous being made on real estate deals by entrepreneurs who are getting into the education business. It's really an enormous scandal.
And of course, now that continues into the higher education level, as we've just heard, that same trend continues there. Finally, we've also, of course, heard the story. There's a new book out recently that we covered on our program about the public school cheating controversy in Atlanta, Georgia, where a group of 11, all of them Black educators, were imprisoned for years over fabricating test scores because of the tremendous pressure that their school faces over test scores of kids. All of these are related stories, of course, because you see the entire education system rigged toward wealthy people and good quality education being less and less accessible for poor folks. And I also saw an interesting thought that somebody posted recently on Twitter about this current college admission scandal. When it comes to the issue of immigration, we see parents going to any lengths to falsifying documents to look for a better life for their children. You know, it's the kind of thing Felicity Huffman and Lori Loughman have done for their kids, but it's the kind of thing undocumented people might do to get a Social Security card or to come to the United States to look for a better life or to falsify the address on your documents to get your kid into school. Parents will go to lengths to try to ensure a better life for their kids, but the wealthiest parents have the most means to do it and are often able to get away with it, right?
Well, you know, what's ridiculous about this, Sonali, is that there are, as I said, over 1,000 colleges and universities that don't require test scores for admission. You can go to the website of Fair Test, which has encouraged, or rather discouraged, the use of admissions testing. And you can see that there are very good, in some cases, elite colleges on the list that will say, we will accept you based on your grades, your activities. Now, you can falsify all of that, but that would be ridiculous. I mean, there has to be something that you can trust, and not just an SAT score or an ACT score, because this one-day exam has far too much importance in the lives of children.
Well, Diane, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. We'll post a link from to your website and your latest piece about this college admission scandal from our website. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
My guest has been Diane Ravitch. She's an award-winning leader in education and the author of 10 books, including The Death and Life of the Great American School System, How Testing and Choice Are Undermining Education, and Reign of Error, The Hoax of the Privatization Movement and the Danger to America's Public Schools. She's research professor of education at New York University. We've been discussing the massive college admission scandal that has ensnared about 50 people now facing federal charges. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at RU with Sonali.